Sitka's Recycling Center is moving to the old incinerator site on the Sheldon Jackson College campus. The assembly voted Tuesday night to buy the 70,000-square-foot site for $305,000. The purchase will allow the Recycling Center to move from its location on Catlin Street. Municipal officials proposed the sale as a solution to the existing site's traffic problems. They also said it could allow expansion and leave room for a possible cardboard recycling business. Assemblymember Nancy Cavanaugh supported the purchase.
It isn't the perfect site, but I don't like the present location, and Catlin Street is a very narrow street. Increasing traffic on that street is not desirable. It's not attractive. To us as residents, whether you're a tourist or not, it's not attractive.
Only one assembly member opposed the land purchase. Jack Osmond said the current location is fine.
I really don't see a need to move the recycling yard at all. I think where it is quite centrally located. It seems to draw people fine. It has good access and good views to pull out, pull in. It really looks like a good piece of property from that point of view. I don't think the city needs any more property. We're probably without a doubt the major landholder in the city already at this point, and I really don't think we need to buy any more property.
The property has some contamination from its use as an incinerator site. Municipal Administrator Jim Dinley said it's an acceptable level for an industrial use such as a recycling center, but he said residential use for which it's zoned would require substantial treatment. That could cause problems if someone else buys the property. Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett said that's a good enough reason to buy the land.
I think to be able to gracefully walk away from that potential liability and problem at a price of $305,000, $305,000 is a small price to pay to limit the risk of that liability, because it is a huge potential and it is very, very real.
The property includes the boiler used to heat the Hames Athletic and Wellness Center, as well as another boiler and an unused fuel tank. Funds for the land purchase will come from Sitka's solid waste account. Fortress of the Bear will continue to pay cut rate rent. Sitka's assembly on Tuesday approved the $50 a month rate through the end of 2010. The price was suggested by the board of the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, where the facility is located. Staff said the market rate could be more than $3,000 a month, but they also said it was unlikely anyone else would want to rent the property. Backers said the nonprofit zoo is a growing tourist attraction that also serves local schools and recycles local food waste. Christine Fenwick is the fortress's bear manager.
This project has a lot of potential, a lot of economic growth for this community, and it has a huge community impact already, and it will only improve as it moves into the future.
The group only asked that the low-cost lease be continued through the end of this year. Executive Director Les Kinnear said that would give the attraction a full tourist year.
At the end of this season, we will have a much better idea where we're going, how we're going to get there, how we're going to pay for it, and what some of our options will be at the end.
Assembly members, however, decided to give Fortress of the Bear an extra year of low rent. The only member voting against the measure was Jack Osmond. He said there was another way to support the group's efforts.
I think that the city does not need to be in the zoo business. And in my mind, the best thing to do with this piece of property is to transfer it to the board of directors of the Fortress of the Bear.
The facility houses two brown bears and a collection of farm animals. Operators say they hope to attract enough tourists to become self-sustaining. In other assembly news, Sitka's assembly has taken a step toward putting limits on recreational cabins on islands. Members voted for a zoning change limiting the size of cabins to 600 square feet of usable space. Only one would be allowed per lot in addition to a main building, and they could not be rented out or used as bed and breakfasts. The issue will come up for a final vote May 26th. Municipal staff said the change was needed to clarify what could and could not be built. They said current rules are unclear about cabin size and use. However, several assembly members said the change was not as clear as it could have been. Phyllis Hackett suggested larger changes be made to rules for island development.
I don't have a problem with the definition as it's written. I do believe that we need a definition. However, I'm concerned that the island's code is so fragmented and different points have been put in at different times that it does not flow together and I think it causes confusion.
The Assembly voted down such a change at an earlier meeting, but it was brought back on a reconsideration motion. Assembly Member Reber Stein supported the ordinance.
A major concern of mine is unintentionally commercializing property on islands that make it difficult for families to live there, and leaving it open for businesses to operate off them and fragment the community from that point of view.
Several Assembly members said they continue to be interested in a larger look at island zoning rules. In other action, the Assembly approved a permit for a U-Pick garden on Sawmill Creek Road, and members raised the limit on some spending rules to allow faster municipal purchases and bid awards. The Assembly also discussed how local government handles its leases. No action was taken, but there was interest in consolidating lease management within the Attorney's Office.